Hi, hope you had a good week. This year, as always, is Le'ilui Nishmas Rachelei Bas Rachaim Tzvi. Should be a true aliyah for our neshama. And again, I'm sharing something that somebody wrote to me on email. She wrote that she doesn't know who Rachelei Bas Rachaim Tzvi was, and the truth is neither do I. But she said this woman changed her life by making Nale a possibility. So I feel that I should mention this because it's truly a schus for her. Okay, what we're going to be talking about today is chinuch on Pesach for children. So it's a broad topic, we can't finish it in one day. And we're going to talk about it in several different frames. Pesach at home, Pesach as a guest, and Pesach in a hotel, since nowadays that's not an unheard of option. So let's, as always, begin with very young children. So as you know, Pesach is the one time during the year where you have no excuse at all to have the kids excluded from the dinner table talk. The Seder is for the children. It says, "V'higata l'bincha v'yomo," you have to tell your children. You have to speak to them. So with young children, and I'm going to include even infants, because as you'll see, they're affected by this. From infants all the way up to the wise old mature age of 3 or so, kids are going to notice a difference in the house before Pesach comes. Okay, there's a lot of cleaning going on, a lot of buying, a lot of scrubbing, a lot of action. Little kids will notice this, and they can make several different responses to it. One is, of course, confusion. You know, what's happened? What are all the, you know? But you could bring them into it emotionally, even when they're too young to understand anything about the holiday, by cleaning in a way that's joyous and energized. So, although this is not our topic, I'm going to just mention this briefly. The best way to get ready for Pesach is by planning it backwards. Meaning, you figure what day of the week the Seder is on. You don't want to do anything that day. The day before, maybe when you want to, let's say, cook. I'm giving you this as an example. Maybe you want to cook before then. And maybe several days before. That means that the kitchen has to be done by And that means in order to have it done and koshered, then you have to do this the day before, and that the day before that, etc., etc. You work backwards. So by doing this, you can make a realistic schedule of things to be done every day. Another thing to consider when cleaning for Pesach is, and this is not, I'm not the first one to say it, and this isn't the first time you're hearing it. If it's going to put you in stress, just clean for Pesach. Don't clean because this is how everybody does it. Don't clean because it feels noble to be exhausted. Just do what you have to do, which is not that much. It's very, very nice, and it's in tune with the feeling of renewal that Pesach is meant to bring about, to clean very thoroughly and to buy new things. But separate that from what you have to do. So with that in mind, when you're doing, it could either be with energy. Yes, look how nice this looks. Now it's all clean. Come, look at this. Let's put all of the shoes back in a row because we cleaned the bottom of the closet. Look, these shoes are too big. These two shoes are too small. Let's put them in the throwaway pile or let's put them in the giveaway pile. Okay. Very little kids who don't get what you're talking about still get the action and can have positive feelings about Pesach, which is part of their chinuch. They can grasp something of the story at this very young age, meaning it used to be bad. There was bad power who made it bad, and Hashem took us out and made it good. So whatever they could understand, they could understand. But even babies could understand feelings, and it's up to you to try to keep your Pesach positive. So that also means that you have to try to keep up your little kid's schedule pretty intact, certainly until the very last couple of days. So what that means is there has to be food in the house. You can't eat pizza every night. There have to be clean clothes. There has to be bedtime. You have to see that their world isn't turned upside down more than it has to be. Let's move on to 3 to 6, which is really when chinuch begins. Okay, so children at this age can definitely understand the Pesach story in its basic sense. And today, where there are so many illustrated Megillahs for kids, beautiful ones, incredibly gorgeous ones, so buy one. There was one, I'm trying to remember which one it is. It wasn't even expensive, it was 25 shekel. Such luxuriant pictures, so graphic. I think it was from the Malchut Publishing House. And they incorporated so much midrash in it. It was very, very nice. Okay, so use the pictures. The pictures will do a lot for you. Buy the tapes that have the songs. Okay, because the repetition of hearing it over and over and over again is going to make it sink in. So yes, at some point you may be wondering, well, who said Paro wore pajamas? Okay, you may be wondering that, especially if you've heard it the zillionth time. But they like it. Keep it on. Okay, now let's move away from the Pesach preparations, which include, again, telling the story, to getting them to memorize a little bit of the stuff for the Seder. So some kids this age are fully capable of saying all of Manashtana, most kids I would say, and having some reasonably clear picture of at least what some of the questions mean. Trust me, when they translate Shar Yerakot to many kinds of herbs and greens, many kinds of herbs and greens, they really don't know what they're talking about, but they'll get something. Be sure they know the answers. So you have to be able to connect the story to the answers. This will give them satisfaction in asking Manashtana. The reason why it's important that they ask Manashtana, since they have no obligation in chinuch, is that it gives you the opportunity to centralize them, which is what you want to do. So you have to make a very big deal of Manashtana. If your kids go to the kind of school where they memorize the simanim of the Seder, Kadesh, you know, that stuff, by all means they have to say it. If they don't, again, there are many, many cassette tapes and CDs with all of this stuff. Let them know it. Now the question arises, what if you're a guest? So if you're a guest, since it's no surprise to your hosts that you're coming with children, you have to call up your host, I'd say, immediately after Purim, if you already know where you're going, and say, thank you so much for inviting us. Can't wait to get there. And after you finish, and what could I bring, and what could I do, and all of the other polite talk, oh, nothing, or whatever, yeah. Say, and the kids are looking forward to it. And oh, by the way, did you know that Dovi could ask Manashtana? Yes, he'll be joining Shaiki and Suri and Maishi and, okay, got the picture? Your hosts have to know that your kids have to be included. There are rare situations where you'll have to go to a home, let's say it's your parents, where they're not into including children. We won't finish by Chatzos. There are all sorts of reasons. Push. There aren't that many times when you have to push a host to do what they don't want to do. This is one of those times. And there are some compromises you could make. You could have them say Manashtana in unison, as long as each one of them will get at the end individual credit for knowing it. But they have to be the stars of the show, and you have to prepare your hosts for this beforehand. Now, to keep kids this age up at the Seder, we have to follow the dictates of the Chazal. You have to have nash for them on the table. Nuts, whatever they'll eat. And again, this is a month before Pesach. You're saying to us, thank you so much. And you know, Maishi wants to sit for the whole Seder. He's so excited they've been learning about it. I want to help him. He'll feel so good. What do you think I should bring for the Seder to keep him up until we get to Shulchan Aruch? Nuts, little cookie. Like, what do you think? Include your host? But again, make it clear that the plan is for the kids to be up, even though they probably won't make it through till the end. Next thing. Whatever you could do when you're a guest to make it nice for your host is important. So therefore, you do your best to see that your kids sleep during the day before the Seder so they won't be cranky. Even if you succeed, it's possible that they will be. So you have to know clearly where they're going to sleep. After Manishtana, it's good to put your younger kids in pajamas. Everybody already saw their gorgeous clothes. So that they could go into bed without disturbing the Seder too much, if they're sleeping in the house of the host. Hotels. I strongly recommend that if you're going to go to a hotel, that you arrange for a private Seder room, even if it costs more money. And the reason I'm recommending this so strongly is because, again, the mitzvah of the evening is the children, and a communal Seder doesn't lend itself to that. People want to hear what the Rav has to say, they want to hear the Chazan. They don't necessarily want to hear Maishi and Suri and Yanki and Bela. And they don't want to hear everybody's five kids. Five? What if you have more? Okay, whatever. So I strongly recommend that you try to get a private Seder room. Now, there are circumstances in which the reason a person goes to a hotel is to be able to participate in the communal Seder. This may be the best choice for divorcees, widows, women who are not able to deal with with fearing the table, with putting themselves in the central role. So at that point, still way before Pesach, you have to discuss with the hotel manager, who probably will send you to whoever is conducting the Seder. How could the children participate? So this isn't a demand, and this isn't a how dare you. It's a question. What do you recommend? How do you think the kids could best participate? And hear what they have to say. Okay, so again, at this age, the main thing is that they know the Yetziat Mitzrayim story thoroughly, that they have positive feelings about the cleaning, and that they're included in the Seder. Okay, let's go on to the next stage. The next stage is going to be my favorite age for Pesach with kids, is from 7 until around 11. This is the age where they could actually be helpful in the pre-Pesach preparations. The more the energy is positive, and the more they feel adequate by your selecting jobs that are really within their capacity, and the more you give them a lot of verbal reward for what they're doing, the better they'll like it. Now, there are some things that have to get done because they have to get done. So you may end up asking your kids to do things that are not their favorite job. For instance, they may not be crazy about pairing their socks if you just washed everything in their drawer. Or they may not want to play with the baby while you do the kitchen. So at this point, you have to have some things ready beforehand that will be their rewards for being cooperative. You have to do this. It changes your life. Okay, it's good beforehand to assign specific things by the week to specific children. So what I would do personally, and I still do for that matter, is again, we plan backwards. And then we could say, here's what has to be done this week, here's what has to be done this week, here's what has to be done that week. I don't want to be a bad example to any of you, but I do begin after Purim. I don't begin at Hanukkah. So we have a week-by-week agenda. I have a list of what has to be done each week. And we talk about who should do what. And there are some things very young children could do and some things, obviously, that they can't. There are some things older children could do, some things they can't. Try to let your kids pick what they want to do. Okay, it usually won't make things worse. It'll make things better if they know that they've picked it. It's unlikely, if you've done a good job of selling them Pesach through the books and the CDs, that you'll get, "I don't want to do anything." Okay, now, a question that you have in the chinuch at this age, with their helping, is, remember, this is Pesach. So this is where a kol shehu of chametz in your food is a very serious thing. So don't trust them to do too much in the kitchen. You need an adult supervising anything that's done by a child in the kitchen because it has to be done right. But there's so much stuff that they could do elsewhere in the house. Errands to run, things to be polished, things to be brought to the cleaners, things to take home from the cleaners, vacuuming. The kids this age love vacuuming. Many kids this age love vacuuming. Little boys like taking things apart. Of course, you have to know how to put them back together. So try to get them to choose what they could do and make a reasonable schedule. So when you say, "This is your job for the week," let's talk. Like, will you do this on Monday or will you do it on Tuesday? What's a good day for you? Don't choose the day when you have something in school that you don't want to, you know, after school that you don't want to miss. Let's find a good time. So it's good to make them their own schedules using markers so they could see exactly what they're supposed to do when. Now here's where you have to be careful. After you've given them what they have to do, now this is going to be very hard for young mothers who haven't made many Pesachs. Don't renegotiate. Don't add new things to their list because you didn't think of it unless you're really, really stuck. They'll feel deceived, they'll feel betrayed. They thought they were going out to play, but no, now you say, "Oh, you have to watch the baby." Okay. Try not to. Try your best that when they finish checking off every item on their list, it's done. You can give them their reward. You could talk it up to Abba when he came home. "Look, she finished her whole list. Could you believe it? It's all done." You have to talk it up. Okay, try also, at this age, since they have opinions, try to do the shopping with them early on. If you personally, until my kids were relatively old, I did all of their clothing shopping, but I'm sure there's stuff you can get away with in Yerushalayim that you can't get away with anyplace else. So I found that even for a 10-year-old, even an 11-year-old, coming home with a completely new, beautiful, wrapped outfit, that she'd like the outfit. I don't know if you could pull this off anywhere else. But if you have to take your kids with you, try to avoid the real balagan towards the end by having the shopping be one of the very early things on the list, so that the shopping days don't have to be days that end in tears. Okay, tears of frustration because as much as there is in the stores, they don't always have what they want. Tears of frustration because someone grabbed it first. Tears of just sheer weariness when you go through a shopping area and come home by bus. Try to do the shopping first so it doesn't have to be terrible. At the Seder, at this age, so if you have kids who are bright enough for this and interested enough for this, getting them books with the Midrashim, and again, there are many, many books. I don't have to even tell you, try this publishing house, try that publishing house. There's so much out there now where they'll have things to present. Now, to keep the Seder from being tedious, realistically, figure how much time you want Magid to take. Chatzos is a consideration. And you divide up different pieces of the Haggadah for different kids, so you don't have 10 kids speaking about Makkos and nobody speaking about Manishtana. Okay, the idea being that everyone will have a time to say their shtickle, and it'll be a time at which the adults at the Seder are attuned to listening to their shtickle, and it's not too long, it's not too short. So they look forward to the time when all eyes will be upon them. And again, Yashikayach, that was so interesting. Okay, you have to, again, play it up because this is their night. Some parents are very dramatic and are able to like live out Yetzias Mitzrayim. Some parents are not. Those of you who are not, I mean, I've heard of someone, I haven't ever seen this. I've heard of parents who act out the animals and the in Arov. I mean, we don't do this, but try, again, to make things alive. Spend the money on the illustrated Haggadahs, not the awful Maxwell House ones. Okay, which I can't imagine anybody under 90 has anymore, but you know what I mean. If the kids are old enough to prepare a little something, again, let them have their preparation paper or the Haggadah that had the Midrash in it at the table, which means pre-checking it very carefully beforehand. Okay, if you're taking kids this age to a hotel or as a guest, so as a guest, again, the same things that we spoke about younger children are still relevant, meaning way before the Seder, you have to make the host understand that you expect your children to be active participants of the Seder. With little children, as you heard, I suggested that you have them ready for bed after Manashtana, although you try to keep them up as much as you can. With kids this age, kids from 6 up, you could really try to keep them up to the end. It's definitely within their capacity if you keep it interesting. So again, you have to ask your host what treats you could give out. You could have, again, if you're having them speak out their roles, put a few of them, certainly with the older kids for a little bit later. Maybe there could be something about Hallel. Maybe there could be something about Shvoch HaMascha. All of this will keep them up and keep them awake. Now, if you have hosts who are not into this and you have to go, which I would say if you don't have to go, do the Seder at home if your hosts are not into this. But if you have to go, it's your parents or his parents, then you have to try to negotiate with the hosts to give them at least something. A very child-oriented Seder. Don't put into the words, they'll say, no, but we're worried about Chatzos, that Abba has a lot to say, and I don't know how appropriate it is for a seven-year-old to speak after old Reb Michal will be there. Negotiate. Could he speak for 2 minutes? Could he speak once? Etc. Now, at this age, and possibly younger, you also have the issue, both in your own home and at the host's home, the issue of afikomen. So, it's wise, unless you have unlimited money, to make the kids understand that they could only get something reasonable for afikomen, because it's only to keep them awake, and it's only part of a minhag. In other words, the host could take off a piece of the afikomen and not let himself be bribed by the kids. But it's good for them. Try to make them think beforehand, plan before Pesach. What do you like? And they'll say what they like. What do you like? What's going to last the longest? What's the best? Try to move them away from things that are really foolish and transient into things that will last a little bit longer, that they often really want also. Okay, now if you're at the host's house and the host is your parents or your in-laws, you have to feel out from them beforehand what they're willing to put out for afikomen and make sure that your kids aren't going to embarrass them or you by asking for something unreasonable. So saying something like, you know what, you can ask for afikomen. I think Sadie was even willing to buy you a doll. Is much better than having the kid ask for a mountain bike. Okay, so you have to bring them down to earth with this at this age. Okay. At a hotel. So again, as I said with young children, try for a private Seder. If there's not going to be a private Seder, if that's not going to happen, again, speak to the people who are running the show and try to see that the rabbi who's conducting the Seder could devote at least a significant amount of time to songs that the children know and midrashim or divrei Torah that young children, middle-aged children, that is, can understand. So The singing especially can compensate for a lack of direct inclusion a lot of times at a hotel. So be sure that that's something that you've brought up with you. You know, the time to bring these things up, by the way, isn't 5 minutes before the Seder commences. It's when you're calling up and you're saying things like, I'd like to make reservations, but I want to ask a few questions. Who am I talking to? Oh, are you the one who actually makes the Seder arrangements? No? Well, who does? Oh, Mr. Lifshitz, could I have him just a minute? Because there's something I just wanted to clarify before I finalize the reservations. You have the most leverage that you're going to have at that moment. So that's when you have to ask about it. And again, in the hotels, they want to please the guests. They want you to come back next year. They want you to say, I had the best time of my... This was the best Seder in my life. So at that point, be sure that there'll be enough singing, stories that kids will understand. You have the right to ask for this. You're paying for your kids. I've been looking at magazine ads for hotel Seders, and I notice what seems to go nowadays is that they'll have somebody who's like a good balmanagin, somebody who has a good voice out there singing, entertaining, a few chashav rabbanim, or at least one chashav rav, with divrei Torah, with giving the yom tov some meaning. And the rest of the ads usually have to do with food, with entertainment, with trips. The ads are not aimed at kids at all. The only thing that they mention that would make you think that anybody who's coming has a kid is they'll say, babysitters provided. Now remember, they want your business. They want you to be happy. They want you to be satisfied. You call beforehand when you're making reservations and make it clear that having something at the Seder that the kids will like is like a make it or break it deal for you, you could be able to make changes there. It could be good. Another issue at the Seder for kids this age, and certainly for older kids, is competition in dressing. So I'm not going to go on and on about this, but try to get a feel for what's expected. And try not to fall into it. I have to have everything new every meal. Okay? Older kids. So older kids' participation should be, again, very similar to mid-childhood children, meaning they should be actively involved in determining who does what and when. They should know exactly what's expected of them. It's very good if you could arrange with older children. So I'm talking about children 11 through their teens. In the vacation before Pesach, to see that at least some of the time, if they've already completed, because they've already completed, hopefully, the task that they agreed upon, that they could have a few fun days. There's nothing like a fun day that you earned. So try to put that in. That's very important to them at this age. If you could have, sometimes it works with girls. I don't know if this would work with boys. I've never seen it work with boys. But sometimes when several girls get together, two girls or three girls, I'm not talking about 9 girls or 10 girls, and they work with each other. Monday I'll help you with yours, Tuesday you help me with mine. I found that that keeps them moving a lot. Another thing that you want to consider is, again, with shopping. Girls are girls. They could spend the whole time they get off from school before Pesach just clothes shopping if you don't make the plan for work still in Adar. So see that the plan is there and that they made it and that it's clear. Okay, taking things further to the Seder itself. So what holds older children to the Seder is if you could have people talk about Hashgacha stories in their own lives. Now again, some people are very self-conscious, some people are not, but let me tell you my battle story types. So if you and your husband could do it, this is wonderful. We all have Hashgacha stories, every last one of us. If not, sometimes even purposely arranging to have a guest who could talk about how I was Megayer, or what it was like to be the only one keeping Pesach in all of Nairobi, or whatever. Some real Yetzias Mitzrayim stories is very moving to them. Okay, inclusion is crucial at this age, much more than younger children. So with boys, the inclusion often could be the singing, at least as much as the Divrei Torah. So you have to like keep the singing going. And again, this is hard. You have to be well organized because chatzos is an issue. So how could you be well organized? So here are a few things that will make the Seder move faster. So you have more time for the tochen and less time for the technicalities. Okay, one is if you're planning on having many guests, you have to have seating cards. So you don't spend 25 minutes deciding who sits next to whom. You know who's coming. You could decide this in Adar. Plan who's coming so that when they come into the house, the men come home from Ma'ariv, there are seating cards on the table and you don't have to waste time on the seating. Next, if you could have all of the things that come in Shiurim pre-measured and individually packaged beforehand, this will save a lot of time. So that everybody has their piece of maror, that everything should be, anything that could be prepackaged should be prepackaged. Okay, another thing that makes things go faster, which I realize not everybody will go for, is trying to serve out food in a way that's efficient, which isn't always in a way that's most graceful. So skipping the soup course may be a good idea. You could have the hors d'oeuvre, if it's fish, some people have a minhag for fish, and then go straight to the main dish. Nothing will happen. If you serve out the main dish in portions in the kitchen, if you have enough helpers, it'll take less time than putting serving dishes on the table and having people take for themselves, because they can begin to eat as soon as you give them the plate. If this isn't going to work because you don't know what people want and the variance of ages and styles is too much, so at least having the serving dishes lined up in the kitchen so that you could bring them out immediately keeps things going. Having a dessert that doesn't have to be served in plates helps. So what that means, a fruit bowl, and this is like apicursis, I realize, for some people. Having a fruit bowl and cakes or Pesach cookies, if you have them, that aren't gooey, so they don't need new plates, they just need napkins, elegant napkins, or plates that could be stacked easily, one on top of the other, but nothing that requires the layer of cake, the ice cream, and the fruit to be assembled in the kitchen will make things a lot faster. So remember, the ikar of the Seder is Magid, so try to arrange things so it doesn't become Shulchan Aruch. Shulchan Aruch is an important part of the Seder, but it's not the ikar. The ikar is Magid. Okay. Taking big kids to a hotel could be a nightmare. I'm trying to think of anything redeemable that I could say about it. If you take big kids to a hotel, realize you have to be very guarded about everything. Who they're associating with, what they see, what they pick up, because you have no control over who the other guests are. So you're not only inviting people who are exemplary, whoever's there, that's who's there. And the kids are bored and have, they have nothing to keep them busy except other kids. So expect to have to be vigilant with older kids in hotels, especially teenagers, and in case you didn't get it, especially teenagers, especially girls. Okay, try to have their days well planned. Try to have their days somewhat over planned, so their choices will be, well, do you want to do this or do you want to do that? Meaning that there's something to do all the time. I realize that you may want to be in a hotel because you want a vacation. It'll be less aggravating if you plan everything very carefully beforehand so they're busy than if you don't. Even if it sounds like there goes your vacation. At a hotel Seder, again, the same way with other kids at other ages, you have to speak to the people who are running the show. And again, you have to watch the seating at the Seder, if it's a communal Seder and you can't have a private room. Who are your kids going to be sitting with? Even though the families will be sitting more or less together, it's only more or less in a hotel if there's a grand table. Try to watch what your teenagers are up to. Okay, if your teenagers are guests, it's very courteous and very good chinuch to have your teenagers call up at the beginning of Adar to your hosts, unless they're out of state or something, and say, when would you like me to come over to help? It's my pleasure. It's a courtesy and it's extremely good chinuch for them. You may tell the hosts to expect the call if you think that they won't, that they'll just say no because they don't know what else to say. Or if conversely you think they'll say, great, could you do the oven? Okay, you know what? So try to arrange that. It's good for them. And it makes them feel included. And it's good for the hosts. Mention to your teenagers that it's not courteous to leave the Seder table if they get bored. So even though at home you may be liberal about this, certainly if you're a guest, you can't have your child get up and walk out because the person has been going on and on about something that doesn't interest the child. A challenge that you may have to face is that you're a guest in the home of people who are from people, otherwise you wouldn't eat at their table. But they're not into Divrei Torah, and they're not into that much singing. They're into talking about Obama's health care plan. They're into jokes. They're into whatever they're into. And it's not because they're bad people. These are from people. These are people who keep the laws, who believe. But these are people whose day-to-day lives are ones in which their interface with the outside world is definitive. So in those situations, your speaking to the host beforehand is crucial in telling them that the kids need to sing, the kids need to talk. You can't force Uncle Harry, if this is who you're spending Seder night with, to have Divrei Torah. But you could pressure Uncle Harry beforehand to let your kids all have Divrei Torah. You can't force Uncle Harry to sing. He may not like singing. But you could ask Uncle Harry to please let the kids sing. Okay, so this is something that has to be thought through before. Now, with older kids, what you may discover, because the Yetzer Hara is alive and well, is that they really would rather listen to Uncle Harry talk about Obama's health plan or the latest political scandal than they are talking the Divrei Torah. So you'll have to try to do your best. Okay, so that basically is chinuch for the Seder. You should have a marvelous Seder, and there's more to say on Pesach, hopefully next time.